Hi, this is Chris, and welcome to Adventures in Odyssey, The Truth Chronicles, a special collection of episodes that explore the power of God's truth in our world.
The Adventures of Captain Absolutely, Defender of Truth, Justice, and a lot more truth! One day, Captain Absolutely was in his secret fortress of solid truth, studying his holy Bible and contemplating yet more truth from which he gets his amazing superpowers, when suddenly, the alert buzzer went off. It was the mayor.
Captain Absolutely here. May I help you?
Captain Absolutely, we need you in Metropolitanville right away. A madman has taken over the...
How strange. Time to spring into action!
The captain zoomed from his secret fortress and flew downtown where he saw an incredible sight.
Someone has moved all of the buildings around, and I think I see the dastardly villain now.
Hovering above the city was a man dressed in a costume of complete and total black. By some mysterious power, he was moving the buildings down below.
Who is this bizarre reorganizer of public structures?
I am the Unifier!
The Unifier?
Captain Absolutely flew over to this strangely dressed man.
Pardon me, but might I inquire as to why you're rearranging all the buildings in our fair city?
Yep, I'm bringing them all together.
So I see. To what end?
Why, to relieve the oppression.
The buildings are oppressed.
The people!
They're looking compressed to me, thanks to your work.
If everyone will follow my plan, we can bring unity to Metropolitanville. Imagine everyone working together in tolerance and love, hand in hand, to build a better society.
And you're going to do this by moving all the buildings together? Wouldn't a better telecommunication system be easier?
No! We must assemble everyone together within a central government that cares for our families and schools and workplaces and churches.
I'm sorry to differ, but it strikes me that placing all the spheres of our social order under one control is a pretty scary idea. And it really messes up everybody's roles and responsibilities. Not to mention the buildings.
What you call roles and responsibilities, I call oppression. You're an intolerant hate monger.
Sticks and stones, pal. I'm just telling you that God's design is the best. It's a bad idea to blur the roles of government, education, and all that stuff and put them all under one control.
No, I won't listen to you.
If you'll allow me to quote a verse of scripture.
No. You haven't heard the last from me, Captain Absolutely. We'll meet again.
Hey, wait a minute, pal. Who's gonna put those buildings back?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! And it kind of goes on from there.
Yeah, interesting story idea, Wooten.
Yeah. See, I've been studying up on this whole business of how God put everything together in our world.
Social order.
Uh-huh, and I figured it would make a great story for Captain Absolutely.
Oh, will you draw this up for our newspaper?
Absolutely.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Oh, hey, Connie.
Hi, Connie. Oh, Wooten was just telling me his new Captain Absolutely story.
Without me? Thanks.
Oh, well, sit down. I'll start over.
Well, I can't. I have an interview to work part-time at the new cable access channel.
Oh, there's a new cable access channel in town? I love those things, especially when they broadcast the city council meetings, all those discussions about zoning and potholes and jurisdiction guidelines. Those things rock.
Yeah.
Well, what'll you do for the channel, Connie?
Well, the owners want to develop kids programs, so I hope to help them write some. See, I decided that if I'm going to be a messenger for God...
A messenger?
Yeah. You know that story in Isaiah where God asks who'll go out and speak for him?
Mm-hmm.
I said I'll try to do it.
Oh, but isn't that what we're doing here at Wits End?
Yeah, but I realize that I need to get out a little more to see if I can do the same thing in other places.
Oh.
You do it on your postal rounds and through the Powerboy comics and Captain Absolutely.
That's true. Well,
will the owners let you do that at the station?
Well, beats me, but I think I should try. Why leave the airwaves to every other point of view but not a Christian one?
Right.
But I need your prayers, okay? I get really excited about these things.
Really? I never noticed.
Well, I want to be really calm and professional for this interview.
Oh, I understand. And we'll pray for you.
We sure will.
Thanks. Oh, and if you see Eugene, will you tell him that Nelson needs to talk to him? Says he's going bug-eyed and wants Eugene's help on something.
Okay, see you, Connie.
Bye.
Bug-eyed? Wow, I wonder what kind. You know, a kid with eyes like a grasshopper would be cool to see.
Okay, Wooten, back to Captain Absolutely.
Yeah.
Eugene?
Oh, hello, Nelson.
I've been looking all over for you. I didn't expect you to hide out in the kitchen.
Well, I wasn't hiding. I was doing some work on the imagination station and came down here for a cup of tea. Earl Grey, to be specific. Would you like a cup?
No, thanks. How about some lemonade? I'm kind of thirsty after running all over looking for you.
Well, I'd be happy to oblige.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, why have you been searching for me?
See, I'm in the science club at school, and Mr. Whittaker helped me to do a presentation about intelligent design.
Yes, intelligent design. The belief that all matter began as a result of an intelligent force rather than random events.
Uh-huh. But now I'm thinking about that intelligent force and the complexity of everything, and I'm beginning to see patterns everywhere.
Oh, patterns?
Yeah, I'm seeing threes all over the place.
Are you sure that isn't your allergy medicine at work?
I don't mean the number three. Oh. I mean, I keep noticing how many things in the world seem to have three parts.
Par exemple?
Some of the things in this kitchen, right in front of you.
The table?
What's on the table? The water. It's in that pitcher as pure liquid, right?
Right.
But here, coming out of the electric kettle, it's steam.
I think I'm with you so far.
And there in my lemonade, it's ice cubes.
Correct. One essence, water, manifested in three distinct ways. Solid, liquid, and gas.
But that's not all.
Oh?
Check out this egg. It looks like one thing, but it's really made up of three. The yolk, the white, and the shell.
Indeed.
And in that basket, you see the peach? One fruit, but with three parts. The skin, the inside stuff, and the core. There it is again. Three.
I see your point. There are threes everywhere. Even the atom itself is...
Proton, electron, and neutron.
Precisely.
I wrote that down this morning. I have a whole list. And fire needs three things to exist.
Heat, fuel, and oxygen.
See? I knew you'd understand.
It is fascinating.
And it's more evidence for an intelligent designer.
So it is. But not just any intelligent designer.
What do you mean?
Why do you think three is so prevalent in the order of things?
I haven't figured out that part yet.
Nelson, are you truly interested? This isn't a practical joke or anything, is it?
No. Why do you ask?
Because you may be one of the few people your age who has ever asked me to explain anything.
Really? That's weird. I've been wanting to talk to you for ages.
Then come on up to the Bible room and I'll explain a little more about the threes.
Oh, great.
Please, sit down. And thank you for coming.
Oh, my pleasure.
Cool.
I know it's unusual to do interviews in pairs, but we had quite a few applications. This is the only way to make our choices in a reasonable time. Now, you're here based on your backgrounds, experience, and...
And that you could get us really cheap?
So, let's get the introductions out of the way. I'm Michael Horton, the new manager of Odyssey Cable, and you are...
Connie Kendall.
And I'm Nigel. Nigel Odeon.
Well, I'm glad to meet you. Now, the exciting news is that we're starting with a clean slate here at Odyssey Cable. We have a chance to create some new and innovative programs. The owners are really keen for us to be a testing ground. And if they like what we do here, they may take us to their national networks.
Wow!
Yeah, you know, I'm glad to hear you use words like innovative, Mike. In my creative writing class last year, my teacher said that I was particularly innovative, especially in my use of punctuation.
Ooh.
I mean, I have a definite vision for what we should produce, and I hope you agree with it.
Oh, that's as good a place to start as any. Your vision. Connie, do you mind if we start with Nigel?
Not at all.
Okay, Nigel. You told me on the phone that you were going to bring in a demo of your ideas.
That's right, Mike. I have it here. Let me just... Okay, now just pop this in, huh?
All right. Good.
Here's the deal. My overriding vision is to do a children's program for the kids. One that's on their side. Because kids are generally held back by their parents and teachers, most adults, and need a break.
You're kidding.
Wait your turn, Connie. Go ahead, Nigel.
You got it. My main idea is about a pastry called Sponge Cake Round Pans, huh? Who lives in a kitchen with his best friend, Fat Rick, and a curmudgeonly neighbor named Count Spatula. And they do all kinds of silly things together, usually with icing tubes and batter, that make noises like bodily functions.
And what's the point?
Hold on, Connie. And what's the point, Nigel?
Okay. There is no point. Which is the whole point, huh? Kids get points made at them all day long. They don't need one from us. Anyway, Sponge Cake is a really inventive character who has these two idiots for parents. And they get in all kinds of trouble that he has to figure out how to help them out of. Huh?
The parents are idiots?
Yeah! And more than that, Sponge Cake is a really talented chef, but his teachers and parents are so stuck in the old ways of baking that he has to sneak around to go to...
So his teachers are idiots too?
Sure. All the adults are idiots.
Great.
Oh, it's all in the demo, Mikey. Play it and you know, you'll see what I'm talking about.
All right, here goes.
Who lives in a kitchen with Teflon and steel?
Sponge Cake Brown Pants.
So moist and delicious and squishy he feels.
Sponge Cake Brown Pants.
The pastries and chocolate are things you adore.
Then throw up that broccoli and swallow some more.
Sponge Cake Brown Pants. Sponge Cake Brown Pants. Sponge Cake Brown Pants.
Oh, brother.
Captain Absolutely returned to his secret fortress of solid truth to try to figure out how to deal with this new fiend. He read his Holy Bible to learn more about the roles of the government and the family and education and church and labor. And he thought. And he read some more. And he thought some more. And he read some more. And he thought...
Okay, Wooten. They've got the idea.
Right. And just as he was coming to a conclusion, his indicator of imminent invasion went off.
I have guests.
Captain Absolutely prepared himself and appeared to be waiting quietly when the Unifier arrived at the door.
Captain Absolutely!
Unifier, how did you find my secret fortress?
Well, how secret can a fortress be?
You got a point.
Now tell me, how is it that everyone in this city wants to throw off the shackles of their oppression except you?
I am not shackled, and the mayor didn't seem so keen earlier when you were moving those buildings around.
He's seen my way of thinking.
Did you promise to give him a high-ranking position in this new central government that will bring about tolerance and unity?
Yes, he'll be my second in command.
So let me get this straight. Your real plan is to unify everyone under your power.
That's right, because I know what's best for everyone.
Better than God?
Stop bringing him into this!
Why? He created everything. Don't you think he has a pretty good idea about how it should work?
I won't listen to you. If he's created anything, it's the oppression that forces people to do the things he wants the way he wants them.
Nobody's forced to do it, but hey, if it works best that way...
Who's to say it's best?
And who's to say it isn't? Tell me. Is it oppression for air to behave as air so we can breathe?
Huh?
Or your lungs to draw the oxygen into your body?
What?
Should air or lungs throw off the shackles of their oppressive roles and responsibilities and act like water or feet? Is it oppression for a musical note to be in tune or the color red to be the color red?
You're talking nonsense!
Am I? Tell me this, Mr. Unifier. Why is it when guys like you come around talking about throwing off authority and letting everyone do what they want, you're the same ones who get to be in charge?
Because I will bring everything together!
Sure you will! So authority is okay as long as you are the authority!
Sounds good to me!
And it sounds wrong to me! And I have an entire Bible to back me up!
Think what you will, Captain Absolutely. It doesn't matter.
Oh? And why is that?
Because you're about to become absolutely dead.
Really? You and what army?
I don't need an army, as long as I have the power to move large objects by my massive brainwaves. Which means I can drop this entire fortress down on you. And I will!
And with that, the secret fortress of solid truth rose up into the air and suddenly dropped onto Captain Absolutely.
Goodbye, Captain Absolutely! Goodbye!
It's refreshing to speak with someone who cares about these ideas, Nelson.
There are more of us than you think, Eugene. Keep on going.
Where was I? Oh, yes. You see, God is a God of order, and everything in our universe reflects that order, which is why some scientists reject the notion that it all came together by random chance. Everything was created for a purpose, because the very nature of God is purposeful. Nothing is wasted. All those threes you keep seeing extend to other areas.
Like where?
Well, note Mr. Whitaker's display about families over here. As intended by God, it should have a father, a mother, and the children.
3.
Mm-hmm. Over there in the display about the church, you see Christ at the head, and then the church leaders in the congregation.
3.
So, you get the idea.
But why so many threes?
Because of one of the greatest mysteries of all time. Now, over here, notice those three displays?
That looks like God creating the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jesus with the crowd. But what are they trying to do?
Well, at that particular moment, they want to drag him out of the village and kill him.
Why?
Because he dared to suggest that he and God were one, which they considered blasphemous. And it would have been were it not true. And the next display?
The disciples are in a room and... Oh, I know! This is that time when the Holy Spirit came down on them.
Mm-hmm. Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, the advocate and counselor that Jesus promised, would come. Do you see the connection?
God is 3?
He is 1, completely unified of one essence, but with 3 individual persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And many Christians believe that God created the world as a reflection of his nature, which may explain why you see so many 3s everywhere.
Whoa! I haven't thought of that.
And that's why if you mess around with those roles, change them, or remove any one component, the design doesn't work properly. Just as an atom, a peach, or an egg would be ruined if any single element changed. It's an intricate design. Unfortunately, there are people who don't respect that design and would like to change it. But the end result is often the same.
What's that?
If you work against God's design, things tend to go terribly wrong.
Well, that was very interesting, Nigel. Thank you for sharing those ideas with us.
No problemo. I think you can appreciate the kind of genius I'll bring to the local airways, Mike.
I certainly can. Now, over to you, Connie.
I'm sorry, Mr. Horton, but can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Is that the kind of programming you want to create?
Is there a problem with it?
I don't think she approves, Mike.
Well, see, I work over at a place for kids called Wits End, and we've always had an overriding idea about what we do.
Ooh, I can hardly wait to hear it.
We believe that kids need help and guidance, especially when it comes to things like respecting authority.
Oh, toe the line, is that it? Crank out little robotos?
No. You can respect authority without being brainless about it. Kids get bombarded with so much garbage, ideas that aren't good for them. And I don't think we should add to it with shows where parents are idiots or the kids are made to think they're smarter than everyone else. We don't need that.
So what do you think kids need?
Well, the same thing we all need. A sense of security, of order. And order comes from respecting authority. The people who are responsible for us are there for a reason. To give us lessons that'll help us in our lives.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying that...
No, yeah, we understand, don't we, Mike?
Perfectly.
Okay, so did you bring something, or did you just come here to preach?
Well, I wasn't able to put together a big video production, but I have an audio drama.
Ooh, audio drama. Glad she's being innovative, huh, Mike?
Go ahead, Connie.
It's just a story that I called The Little Train That Couldn't.
That couldn't? Kids need to be empowered, Con.
Well, funny you should mention that, Nige, because it's kind of what the story's about. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Horton.
All right.
Kids Radio presents The Little Train That Couldn't, a story by Connie Kendall.
Once upon a time, in a railway yard far away from here, Frank the Freight Train finished the last of his delivery of freight.
That was a satisfying day's work,
Frank said.
Great work, Frank,
said his driver. And so they made their way to the shed for a night's rest. And Frank did what he often did. He sat in the shed and watched the other trains on the tracks. One, a train called Peter the Passenger Train, zoomed past a few times with his car full of passengers.
I wish I could be a passenger train,
Frank said to one of the mechanics.
You weren't made to be a passenger train. You were made for strength, not speed.
I'd still like to go as fast as Peter does.
Over the next few weeks, Frank thought about it a lot and decided that he wanted to give up pulling freight cars around. He wanted to go fast, like the passenger train. And then he began to nag the station master about it. At first, the station master said no.
You weren't created for that.
But Frank nagged him so much that the station master finally gave in.
Okay, Frank. We've had a large number of passengers lately, so I'll let you try pulling a passenger car, if only to give Peter a break.
Thanks!
So they coupled a passenger car to Frank and let him make the rounds as a passenger train. But his driver wouldn't let Frank go as fast as Frank wanted.
Faster! Faster!
You weren't built for speed, Frank. We're going as fast as I dare take you.
Aww.
And Frank became annoyed. Then, when they stopped at one station and all the passengers got off, the driver also went to get a cup of coffee. Frank saw his chance and took off, pulling his own levers and pushing himself to go as fast as he could. And he went fast, faster than he ever had. He felt free. As he zoomed along, he glanced up into the sky and saw an airplane racing through the air.
Look at that! Oh, how I wish I could fly like an airplane. Why do I have to be held against these boring tracks that go to the same places all the time? I want to fly like that plane. Why can't I?
Frank suddenly remembered a section of unfinished track that extended out to an unfinished bridge over a great canyon.
That's it! That's how I'll fly!
He pushed himself harder and faster, his engine running red hot and all the gauges screaming to stop, stop! But he saw the unfinished track ahead and what looked like open sky beyond, and he said,
I can do it! I can do it! I can do it! Do it! Do it! Do it!
Frank reached the end of the track, and off he came. His wheels left the rails, and he was in the air.
Woo-hoo!
For only a few seconds. And then he plummeted, down, 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 and crashed in a terrible heap at the bottom of the canyon.
Frank! Are you all right?
No.
The damage was horrible to behold. It took cranes and trucks and many people to get Frank out of that ravine. Piece by piece, they transported him back to the railway shed. A few weeks later, Frank overheard the head mechanic talking to the station master.
I'm sorry, sir, but he ruined his engine by going so fast, and he's destroyed just about everything else. He can move, but only at the slowest speeds, pulling the lightest cars possible.
Well, there's nothing for him to do here. We need strong freight trains and fast passenger trains. What can we do with him?
Hey, I have an idea.
And so, if you ever visit the county fair, you'll see Frank pulling a small open carriage of children, going very slowly in circles, around and around and around.
Whoa, that was your story?
Yes. See, the idea is that the Creator has created us for specific purposes. And when we defy those purposes, then we put ourselves in danger.
Ooh, fascinating. Now, I have to ask, Mike, is this the kind of stories you want to tell on your channel?
Well, to be honest, it's exactly what I'm looking for.
It is?
It is.
It is?
Yes. I think Connie is right. Too many of today's kids' programs teach them to mock and taunt authority, to disrespect the very people who've been placed over them to teach and nurture them. And what do they learn? To be glib and sarcastic and rude.
Okay then, Mike. Fine. Well, I hope the two of you enjoy your lives in the 19th century. I think I'll go find a place in the present age where I can work. See ya!
I wish you well, Nige.
Bye! Look, I'm sorry, Mr. Horton. I didn't mean to cause trouble.
No, it's no trouble. You saved me a lot of extra work. We want this station to give solid messages, to help parents with their children, not work against them.
Really? That's great.
But now I have a problem.
What?
Well, you and Nigel were the two best candidates for the kids' programs. Now I have only you. I need another writer to help you come up with shows for the kids, and fast.
You know, I might know a few people who'd be willing to help out.
The The secret fortress of Captain Absolutely was now a mass of rubble. On top of the captain, the Unifier laughed with evil glee.
And now that I have that meddlesome Captain Absolutely with his meddlesome absolute truth out of the way, I can fulfill my plan to unify the world under my control.
But before the Unifier had finished laughing his gleeful laugh, something began to happen to the fortress. The stones of the fortress began to shift and move as if something beneath was pushing them upwards.
What's going on here? What's happening?
Soon, a space was made and a large bubble-like sphere rose up out of the rubble, with Captain Absolutely held safely inside.
No, it can't be!
But it can be. Did you truly believe I wouldn't protect myself from your evil powers? My orb of order is the perfect defense against your ideas of disorder. In here, all things work together for good in the way God intended. In fact, I think you should try it out for yourself.
With those words, the captain pushed a button on his belt, and the orb of order quickly moved from him and completely covered the Unifier.
No!
Struggle as he might, the Unifier couldn't break free.
That's right. Not only is it an orb of order, it's an orb of law and order.
You can't
move buildings around and take over cities just because you feel like it, pal.
And the orb moved towards Metropolitanville Prison, where the Unifier would spend quite a bit of time thinking twice about his evil ways.
Cut. And that's a wrap. Great job, Wooten.
Oh, was terrific.
Oh, thanks. Can I take this costume off now?
Go ahead. We're done for the day.
You were the best, Wooten. Fantastic story, too. Hey, thanks for helping out.
Oh, my pleasure. See you in a minute.
Captain Absolutely. What a great idea. Though, he didn't have to wear that costume to narrate.
You know that. I know that, but...
Yep, you know. That's Wooten.
Well, I'm glad you brought him in, Connie. Eugene? Nelson?
Yes, Mr. Horton?
Yes, sir.
I think they're ready for you two in Studio B.
Then we shall embark in that direction forthwith.
Connie, thanks for bringing us in on this.
Hey, thank you for helping out.
You have unearthed some real gems, Connie. Eugene doing a program called Science by Design is a great concept.
It's all Eugene's doing, not mine.
Well, Whit, it's your turn.
My turn?
I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee. And you're going to talk to me about how to teach kids. Connie says you're an expert.
Oh, I'm no expert, but I have a few ideas that might be helpful.
Well, I'd like to hear them. Connie, I think Studio C is waiting for you.
Yeah?
They're building the set for the little train that couldn't.
Oh, okay, I'm on my way. See you guys.
So long, Connie.
Okay, so tell me everything, Whit.
Everything? Where do I begin?
I'll start with Whit's end. How in the world did you throw all of it together?
Well, to begin with, it wasn't thrown together. Everything we do there is by design.
By design. Let me write that down.